Hallelujah. Praise God. I want you to stay with me in this message today. And you just believe the Lord. Amen. And someone say amen to that. Today I'm going to be talking about every setback is setting you up for a greater comeback. Amen. Can somebody say hallelujah? Every setback is setting you up for a greater comeback. Amen. I'm going to start in Romans chapter 8 and verse 28. And it says that we know. Do you know it? If you know it, say amen. And some people don't know it. You know. Is this your testimony? Right here, that's on the screen. Do you know that all things work together for good to them that love God? Now remember, we talked about this before. We preached about this before. It's not all things work together for good to them that God loves. It is all things work together for good to them that love God. Because that's the first commandment. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all your heart. And if you love the Lord, all things will work together for your good. Amen. So, every setback is setting you up for a greater comeback. But, this is the punchline today. And if we are able to do it, I'm going to show a short 7-minute video at the end. We're playing with it earlier, having some difficulties, but I hope we can do it. But, you must pick up the baton and finish the race. Amen. 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 You will understand that later. So let's read Micah chapter 7 verse 8. I'm not going to read a lot of scriptures today, but I'm going to preach. Amen. Rejoice not against me, O my enemy. I love this verse. When I fall, when somebody knocks me off my game, amen, somebody, I shall arise. Even when it appears as though I sit in darkness, the Lord shall be a light unto me. Amen. Now, is this your testimony? Now, there are days that you are on the mountaintop, and it's like you are in the light, and the voice of God is there. And then there are days that it seems like you are in the valley, and it seems as if the voice of God is silent, and it's like you are in the dark. But you must remember, when you are in the dark, you must remember the things that he spoke to you in the light. Hallelujah. That's why he says in John 14 and 26, the Holy Ghost, he will bring to your remembrance whatsoever I have already said unto you. So the God of the mountain, he's also God in the valley. When you are on top, it seems like the voice of God is there. You can hear him clearly. And you are in the light, and you are on a roll. And then there are days that it seems like you are in the valley and in the dark. But you must remember, when you are in the valley, and it seems like you are in the light, in the dark, you must remember what he spoke to you when you thought you were in the light. And the Holy Spirit is going to bring it back to your remembrance. Hallelujah. And Micah said it best. He said, look, no matter what is going on with me, when I'm up, I'm up. When I'm down, I'll be up. Amen. Amen, somebody. When I'm up, I'm going to remain up. But when I'm down, I'm going to get up and get up. When I'm in the light, I'll be in the light. But when I'm in the dark, I'm going to move into the light. Amen. God, the Lord is going to be a light unto me. Hallelujah. The book of Proverbs, chapter 24 and verse 16. The righteous man, sometimes often referred to as the just man, might fall 7 times, but he's going to rise up again. Amen. Praise the Lord. Now there is a, Second Corinthians, let me just read that quickly before I go. Second Corinthians chapter 4, let me read from verses 8. And let me just, I'm going to just talk to you about that before I go into the part of this message. I'm going to read verses 8 and 9 of Second Corinthians chapter 4. He said, we are troubled on every side, yet we are not distressed. Now, that's somebody's testimony, but is it your testimony? That even when you seem to be troubled on every side, you are not distressed? People are easily distressed these days. We are perplexed, but we are not in despair. Amen. Next verse. We are persecuted, but we are not forsaken. We are cast down, but we are not going to stay down for the count. Amen. Praise the Lord. You've heard me preach on things like this before, but I'm bringing a different perspective today. So you stay with me in this message. I'm going to tell you about three stories. Two of them are taken from the scriptures. One of them is a contemporary story. And not in any particular order, but I'll leave the contemporary story last. You know, the first one I'm going to tell you is the story of Moses. Moses was a man that was going to become prince of Egypt. Did you know that? Anybody know that? He was going to become prince of Egypt. You know, he was being schooled and being trained. He had the riches of Egypt, the pleasures of Egypt, had all those things and so forth. And he could have someday become the prince of Egypt. You know. Now, the next thing you know, because of something that he tried to do, now I'm not focusing on the thing he tried to do, but I'm focusing on when he tried to do something, he tried to take the deliverance into his hands to deliver his people. You know the story. And then the next thing you know, he became a fugitive. How many of you know he became a fugitive? He ran away from Egypt to the backside of the desert for 40 years. He was a fugitive, somebody who was so close to the throne. He became a fugitive. He had to run away for his life. But during the time of being a fugitive, hallelujah, he had an encounter with the pillar of fire. He had an encounter with the burning bush. And God spoke to him. And God changed his situation from being a fugitive. So you're going to go back and you're going to deliver my people, Israel. And it was kind of like a type of Christ in that situation. Because the stone which the builders rejected, the Jews rejected him, saying, who made you a judge over us? Are you going to kill me like you killed the Egyptian yesterday? They rejected him. And he said, this matter is known. He ran for his life. But the very one that they rejected, can somebody say amen? He came back not only to be the deliverer, he was a prophet. He had mighty signs and wonders, the likes of which nobody had ever seen. You know, he could smite the earth with all kinds of plagues. He could turn water, their drinking water, into blood. He could bring forth lice and frogs and, you know, and locusts and all kinds of things, you know. And finally, he parted the Red Sea. Praise God. Through the hands of Moses, God did these things, folks. You might say, well, it was God. Yeah, but he was using Moses. And Moses transitioned from being a fugitive and all those things of running away and so forth, finally brought him into a place where God turned him into a super giant in terms of miracles. He came back in that place and his word was the law. Amen. His word was finally the law. So he went through all of that, you know, and so forth. And you can read it in Exodus chapter 2 from the whole of chapter 2 to Exodus chapter 14. I'm not going to read that today because it's a lot of chapters to read. But I'm going to just leave that story there because I'm going to something today. So stay with me. So that was the story of Moses. And then there was a story, my favorite one is the story of Joseph. You'll have to read that in Genesis chapter 37 skip chapter 38 and then read 39 to about 44. And you find the story of Joseph there. And most people know the story of Joseph. You know, Joseph, his brothers conspired against him. They threw him in the pit. They sold him into slavery, into a far and foreign land, you know. And you notice also that Moses also went into a far and foreign land. It seems as if, you know, they just had to get away from where they were, you know. And Joseph, every bad thing just kept happening to him. Every bad thing. At every step. First, in the pit. Then one of his brothers says, well, let's not sell him, let's not kill him, and so on. And then finally he said, well, let's sell him to this Ishmaelite up here. They carried him from there, they carried him to Egypt. You know the story. And he became a slave. A slave. Somebody who was originally decked with a rainbow coat. And somebody who was a favorite to be the ruler among his brethren. According to his dreams, you know, people thought, well, your dreams are telling us that we're going to bow down to you and so forth. From the slavery, Potiphar's wife conspired against him and framed him for something he didn't do. And of course, you know the story. And they put him in prison. And they put him in prison. I mean, look at all these stages of things. I mean, somebody who's like maybe 17 years old or less. Away from his father who loved him so much. Away from his brothers. Sold into slavery. Into a foreign land where he didn't even know the language and stuff. And he had to learn the language. But the favor of God was upon him. Can somebody say amen? And every one of those horrible things that happened to him, God used it to bring him closer to his destiny. Amen. Amen. And he had to go to prison before he could rise to be vice regent in the land. If he had stayed in the house of Potiphar, I mean, he was still doing okay. He was still the ruler of all the servants and so on. But when he went into prison and the things happened that happened, when he interpreted, and I want to say to you also, you know, even though he was cast down and even though he was in prison, you know, he was still being the salt to people around him. Matthew 5 and 13 says, you know, we should be the salt of the earth. But when the salt loses its savor, it's got no use except for you to just throw it out and trample it underfoot. But this man, he woke up with, you know, the baker and the butler in prison. And he said one morning, he looked at the accountant and said, why look you so sadly today? And, you know, because of his compassion, the compassion of his heart and everything like that, you know, brought about a tremendous thing that would eventually happen. Although it took more than 2 years after that. But when he told the dreams and he interpreted the dreams and one of them was restored to his place, of course, he didn't remember him like, you know, Joseph asked. But eventually, there was a situation in which he had to interpret the dream for Pharaoh. And my. One day, he was in prison. The next day, even the same day, he became the ruler over all the land. And Pharaoh said, you are Joseph. And I am Pharaoh, and there shall nothing move or anybody lift a finger in Egypt except by you. Can somebody say amen? Amen. Now, because you've heard the story so many times, it seems as if, well, we know that story. But there's a different viewpoint that I want to bring out today. You know, sometimes you get knocked off your game. A devil might take a cheap shot at you. Whatever situation you find yourself in, if you love God, I'll tell you a story. This preaching is going to be very short because I am going to do a ministration at the end, different from the preaching. But I want you to stay with me. This story that I'm going to tell you, this is contemporary. Contemporary that happened in our time. And this is part of the video that I will show at the end if we can show it. But not yet for the video. Let me tell you the story first. When I was a young man, this is not part of the story, but this is a, you know, prelude to the story. When I was a young man, I used to do track and field. And because I used to do track and field when I grew up, I was always glued to the TV when they did the Summer Olympics, the track and field. Anybody know what the Summer Olympics track and field is? Is there anybody? Anybody here watch it other than myself? Let me hear you if you watch it. Yeah, all right. So I always watch those things. In fact, one day I was thinking in my heart, you know, wow, wouldn't that be a great time for the Lord to come and catch everybody unawares? When everybody's so glued to the Olympics, boom, and he can come just like that. Amen. Praise God. I just wanted to drop that one there, but that's not my subject. But so I watch these Olympics all the time. In 2012, London Olympics, Summer Games, the USA women's team, 4x110 relay, that's something I used to do, so I love to watch it. You know, they did win and set a record which was broken after many years. 4 years later, and here's where I'm going with this story. 4 years later, in 2016, Rio. United States women's 4x110 track team, relay track team. Everybody billed them to win the race because they were the defending champions. And many of them were veterans. There's one veteran in there. I'm going to speak about her in just a minute. As a matter of fact, her name is Allison Felix. She's the most decorated USA track and field women's athlete. So many medals in so many events. Does anybody know who Allison Felix is? Anybody heard the name? Okay, maybe you guys don't watch like I do. But that's okay. But she was in that race. And here's what happened. During the qualifying rounds, this is how this thing say. Just stay with me. Don't say, what story is this? There's a story and there's a point in this. During the qualifying rounds, the way the relay works, you got to pass the baton around. How many of people know you have to pass the baton around? All right. And if you drop the baton, that's it. And remember, I said at the beginning, you must pick up the baton and finish the race. Now, the USA team came out blazing. Gave it to the veteran in the second leg. That's Allison Felix. And she was bringing it home. Got to the third leg. They dropped the baton. And she put her head like, because it's like, I mean, they were going to win, but it was just the qualifying rounds. And she dropped the baton, and the girl that was in front of her was a rookie. But it wasn't their fault. The team that was actually on the other lane had bumped into her. The girl was running so close to the edge, she bumped into her elbow and made her to drop the baton. So it wasn't really the U.S. fault. And this is where the story gets interesting. So the veteran lady, she recomposes herself, and she goes over to the girl between which the two of them, the baton dropped, and say, we must pick up the baton and finish the race. And so she picks the baton. By that time, the race is already over. But she picks the baton, and she said, don't worry about it, I'll tell you later. And she gives it to the lady, the other girl. She trots down because the race is over. She just trots down. This is third leg. She just trots down casually. She hands it to the final leg, and that one just trots down and gets to the end team. But the rule was this. The veteran knew the rule. If you are going to have any chance for a protest, you must finish the race. She knew the rule. So being a veteran, she picked up the baton and gave it, and there was a, you know, just finish the race. Just finish the race already. You know, and then she went and finished the race. And they finished the race. And then they made the protest. And the judges, when they reviewed the tapes, looked at everything, they actually saw that they were right. Somebody bumped her, you know, And they reinstated them into, it was the qualifying rounds. They reinstated them. And when they reinstated them, usually there are 8 teams on the field. When they reinstated them, you have to qualify. Now they say you have to qualify by time. So when they reinstated them, they said, well, you're going to run alone. You're going to run alone. Because we are not going to bring all the teams that have qualified back again. But you're going to run. And if your time beats the lowest qualifying team, then you are in on time. So they had to go into the field and they had to run by themselves. Nobody there. Now, talk about pressure. Because if you drop the baton now, hello, somebody. If you drop the baton now when you are the only one running, you don't have anybody to blame. But they went there. They were determined. They went in there. They ran and they qualified because their time was good enough to edge out one team, which was China. So they edged them out. Because China protested up and down. The judges threw out their protest. And they put the USA back in the finals. When they put them in the finals, usually if you are the best team, you get the middle lane, lane 4, lane 5, because that's the lane that has the most advantage. But all the lanes were already taken. Lane 0, which is the lane that nobody would take. Nope, they don't give that to anybody. They always, because it's the sharpest turn. It's so hard. I used to run that, so I know what I'm talking about. So they put them in lane 0 to run the finals. And they ran the finals, you know, and a lot of adversity was coming. One of the girls came into the finals, and she brought her gym bag and everything. She got there. She didn't have her sprint shoes, her spikes. And they're scrambling all about. But the veteran, Allison Felix, she always carried a spare pair. Hallelujah. So she brought out a spare pair, and the girl had to lace it on real tight because, you know, they had to make adjustment. And they ran that race in the tightest turn in lane 0. They won that race. Somebody say amen. They won that race and they ran the fastest second time in the world, basically. And they beat their own, you know, record for that year. And they didn't set the record from the 4 years ago, but they won, and they won the gold. Now, so let's break down this story. You get bumped. Remember some months or years ago, I preached a sermon, actually a few months ago. I called it, run your race, your own race, you know, tactfully and with confidence. It's on the website. You can check it out. I don't know the date. So you got bumped. Now, there are situations in life that can bump you and take you off your game. Hello? It could be a disappointment. It could be a failure. It could be sickness. It could be you lost your job. It could be whatever it is. Now, failure, we know, is just something. It's just something that happens. Failure doesn't define you. Amen. Amen, somebody. Failure doesn't define you. It's not a person. It's just something that happened. But the veteran, she understood that unless we pick up the baton and finish the race, we would not have a chance. And even though the race had finished, everybody in the stadium was looking at them like, what in the world are they doing? But at the end of the day, when they stood on that podium with the gold medals, hallelujah! Because they picked up the baton and they finished the race. Now, there are some of you in here or watching today. You need to pick up that baton and you need to finish the race. You can't let the devil keep you down because he bumped you off. No matter what he did to you, no matter how you got off the track, you got to pick up the baton and finish the race. And if you finish the race, Jesus said, Paul, through the mouth of Paul, he said, there is a crown of glory for you. Amen, somebody. Paul said, he said, I have finished my own race. I have kept the faith. And henceforth is laid up for me a crown of victory and a crown of glory. And also for those who will finish the race. You must finish the race, folks. Some of you, some people, even those who are listening, maybe on the internet or whatever, you've been bumped up your game, bumped up from your game. Some people are hurt. You know, some, I'm hearing these days on social media everywhere, you know, people, so many people have been hurt. Even hurt from church. They say the church did this, the church did that, so I'm not going to church again. Well, maybe the church bumped you off your game. But, amen. Amen. You know, Paul used to say, I'm Paul the aged. Well, I should say this by the grace of God too. You know, I am a veteran in this faith by the grace of God. And I'm telling you guys, you got to pick up the baton. And you got to finish the race. You got to pick. You cannot let the buffeting, the pummeling, and anything that the enemy does to you, you cannot let it keep you down. You got to bounce right back. But sometimes it takes somebody else to tell you. That person might be the Holy Ghost using somebody like me today to tell you to get up. Hallelujah. Get up. The Lord is in your corner. And the Lord is telling you to get up. And when you're knocked down in the bout, you know, and they are there, and the other side is saying, stay down. They stay down. And your corner will be saying, get up. Eye of the tiger. Get up. You can get up. Can you? But are you going to get up? Or are you going to stay down for the count? Well, I've preached like that many times. But today I'm saying, are you going to pick up the baton and finish the race? Now, some of you, there's even some people I'm hearing. And lately, by the grace of God, I ran into some folks and had to counsel them on something. You know, that are even discouraged even in ministry. For whatever reason. But you got to pick up the baton. And you got to finish the race. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I've got a 7-minute video that I want to show. And David, if you are there in the back, let's see if we can show that. If not, that's fine. You know, I want to show it to illustrate the point of what I already preached. And then I am going to pray. I want you to stay with me. You're going to have to plug in that little cord there. But you can just show the video without the audio. That's fine. If you can show it, that's okay. Kingsley. All right, you need to plug in that cord. Okay. All right. So, just watch this video. We'll bring out this point. Can you stop the video? Can you stop the video? Can you stop the video and turn off the audio as well? Can you turn off the video and the audio? Turn that thing off. Okay. They have the video flipped backwards. So don't worry about the video. I already told you what's in the story. They were running this way instead of running this way, so it was flipped backwards. And we couldn't really hear what the girl was saying. But everything that's in that video is what I already told you, so don't worry about that. But what I want to say to you today is that, you know, when something happens to you that looks like a setback, God might actually be using it to set you up for an even greater comeback. The victory was so much sweeter for these people. It was so much sweeter at the end because they had to run the race twice. They ran it the first time with the rest of the teams, and they got bumped off their own track. And after they protested, they put them back, and they had to run it again alone by themselves. The whole stadium was there, and they were the only one in the middle of the track. They put them back in the same lane where they were last time, lane two. And now you have to run. And usually when you're running that race, you know, in the relay races or any races on track, you run off of the person that's to you. You know, that's how we run. You know, you need the person that's next to you to gauge how you're running. But then when you're out there alone, see, and that's it. You got to run your own race. You got to run it confidently. You can't run it like shadow boxing. Amen. Paul said it, I think it's 1 Corinthians 9 and verse 25. If you can put that up for me. 1 Corinthians 9, 25. He said, look, I am not, you know, running this race as if I don't know what I'm doing. You know, he says, look, every man that striveth for the mastery is temperate in all things. Now, they do it to obtain a corruptible crown. These people that I'm talking about, these athletes, it's a corruptible crown. It's gold, you know, the metal they put around their neck, but it's corruptible. But verse 26 says, next verse, you know, I therefore so run, not as uncertainly, so fight I, not as one that beateth the air. You have to run with purpose. You need to know that you have to finish. Somewhere in there also it says, look, but we do it for an incorruptible. You know, you have to finish the race. You cannot let the fact that an apparent setback, an apparent dropping of the baton, get you out of the competition. Now, there is a competition, folks, you know, and you can read it down. In fact, let me read it from my Bible so I can see the verses that I need. You know, he said, look, don't you know that everyone that runs, I mean, a lot of people run in that race, but only one person wins, right? So it's kind of like this one, too. This was what was happening. There are many of them that were running, you know, but not all of them would win. Verse 24. Know ye not that they which run in a race run all? I mean, like this race I just described. But one will receive that gold. He says, so run that ye may be the one to obtain it. Amen. Amen, somebody. Amen. We're in a race. And there's a prize for the high calling of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we must run. And there are things that happen in our daily life. There are things that are happening to put you off your game. And here is the last verse I'm going to share with you before I pray. In the book of Jeremiah, chapter 12, and verse 5. I'm going to share this with you. If you have run with footmen and they have wearied you, like these people that are running against footmen, what are you going to do? How can you then contend with horses? You know, if in the little and everyday things that we face in life, the setbacks you get knocked off and so forth, and you give up on that, what are you going to do when all hell breaks loose, if I can use that language? What are you going to do? How can you contend with horses? And if in the land of peace, which is where we are right now, you know, which is where you trusted, you are even weary. You know, everything is going good, you know, even though there's some stuff not going so good. Last year was horrible, but the Lord kept us, thank God. You know, but, you know, we still have food, we still have all these things and so forth. What are you going to do in the swelling of Jordan? This thing is like a parable. You know, so we must win every race. Amen. You must climb every mountain. You know, you must blow down the hurdles, run over it, climb over it, jump over it, do whatever it takes. By my God, I've leaped over walls. And by my God, I run through troops. I want you to stand to your feet this morning. And I am going to pray. I try to keep that thing so simple. I wanted to use the story to illustrate the point. You know, I took some classes on my job that said storytelling sometimes can be used to illustrate a point. And I wanted to use that to illustrate the point. That's why I did that. But don't be caught up with the relay and all that. The lesson of the story is you get bumped off your track due to no fault of yours. Even if it is your fault. These people that I talked about, some of them it was their fault. Moses, he tried to take the law into his hands. You know, and they rejected him, ran away, 40 years fugitive. Well, Joseph, maybe the only fault that he did was run his mouth. You know, run his mouth about his dreams and also bring an evil report against his brothers. He always brought an evil report against them, so they didn't like him. He reported all their bad deeds, so they didn't like him. But doesn't matter what led to your setback. You must pick up the baton and finish the race. Amen. Now, I am going to pray for somebody in the house today. Or if you are watching online, I am going to pray for you. Now, if you are in the house, you have the advantage. The advantage to come out for prayer. I want you to come, and I'm going to pray for you. You have been bumped off the track. Things have happened in your life that look like setbacks. But I am going to pray how that God is going to turn that and change your story. Amen. So if that's you, I want you to come quickly. I'm going to give a little minute, and I want the praise team to come up, especially the pianist, and just play softly. And if there's anybody in the house that wants to come, I want you to come. I'm going to pray for you. Now remember, you have the opportunity. Don't look around and say, you know, they're going to look at me or I'm somebody else. And people are always waiting for somebody else to step in first. Don't let somebody step in and take your miracle. There is an anointing, a different anointing for every service. And I have been seeking the Lord and praying for this service. And this is what He gave me to preach today. So I knew that there's people in here that need this. Now let me introduce to you the prayer that we are going to pray. The enemy has struck you down, knocked you off. It could be any kind of setback. It could be any kind of disease. It could be failure. It could be disappointment. It could be whatever. Sometimes the enemy can even use somebody else, like in this race, to bump them off. You know, it's a pity I didn't get a chance to show the video, but that's okay. You know, you can check it out later on your own. But whatever is the reason why you got off track. Some of you got off track either because of bad decisions that you yourself made by not using wisdom. A lot of times we don't use wisdom. And if we don't use wisdom, then we get into situations where we are wishing that we had used wisdom in the first place. But I'm saying to you today that whether it was because you did not use wisdom, whether it was a satanic altar, whether it was the prince of the air, whether it was spiritual wickedness in high places, whether it was the tokens of liars that came against you, whether it was the bands of wickedness, whether it was oppressive spirits from the devil, whether it was yokes that the enemy put on you, whatever it is that made you to lose your step, we're going to pray for restoration today. Amen. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
In Isaiah 58, he says, is this not the fast that I have chosen? Hallelujah. To break the bands of wickedness. To lose the captives. To undo the heavy burdens. And that you break every yoke. Am I going to do those four things today? You know, the heavy burdens, let me explain it to you this way. The heavy burdens is like what Pharaoh said to the people, the children of Israel. He said, they are idle. They are idle. That's why they say we want to go and worship the Lord. And he told the taskmasters, let there be more burdens laid in upon them. So that they will not have time to worship the Lord. And that's a tactic. Many people today, you've got to have more job. You got to work more hours. You got to do more of this so that you won't have time to worship the Lord. You are a student. You got to have more exams. You got to, you know, all kinds of things. Let there be more burdens laid in upon them so that they won't have time to worship the Lord. People tell me today, I can't come to church because of this or that. Well, that's a plan of the enemy. Can somebody say amen? I know you have to work and everything like that, but you've got to stand in the grace of God. in the liberty wherein God has made you free. You know, I mean, we must work hard, you know. We must work hard. We have to do hard work. You know, we're told about that in Proverbs 6, about the ant and all this. We must do all of that. But it's not, you know, in the kingdom of God, in the new covenant, it's not about all of that. It's about the favor of God. Amen. Listen to our message on in season and out of season. It's not in season. It's when you walk and you get a paycheck. That's in season blessing. Every 2 weeks, you have to get that paycheck because you have worked for it. But out of season blessing is the dew of heaven. And somebody say amen. Yeah. The dew of heaven is the one where Jesus says, give me the 2 loaves and the 5 fishes. It is enough. Hallelujah. Not even enough to feed the 12 disciples, but in the hands of the master. In the hands of the master, what already is in your hand is enough. Amen. Amen. It is vain for you to wake up early and stay up late only to eat the bread of affliction. That's what the Bible says. God will relieve you today. Amen. Now, I want you to lift your hands. I said all of that. Let me tell you the reason why I said all of that. I could just bring you here and be praying and blasting over you. You know. But the reason I said all of that, well, Jesus did the same thing. He got to the throne. He got to the grave of Lazarus. And he prayed. And he said, I say this thing for their sakes. I already know that you already heard me. But that they might believe. So he prayed a prayer that will make them to believe. So I explained all of that to you. So that you might believe. Amen. It's not that I can't just come here and just pray and, you know, do things. But I want you to get into the flow and to engage with me. Because the Bible says a threefold cord. Hallelujah. And somebody say threefold cord. Come on, say threefold cord. It's not quickly broken. That's you. That's me here today. And the Lord. Amen. Or if you can get a believer, if you are married, hopefully you married a prayer partner and not a prayer point. Amen. Praise the Lord. If you marry a prayer warrior like my wife, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus, for giving me a prayer warrior. Amen. If you marry a prayer warrior, you got a partner. And two of you agree on anything, it's done. If you marry a prayer point, then you got a prayer point all your life. Praise the Lord. You know, so hopefully you don't have a prayer point in your partner. You believe the Lord with them. Amen. You, your spouse, and the Lord. That's all you need. You don't need the pastor. Amen. The pastor is here when you come to church. But what about the 7 days of the week that you are not in church? Are you going to pick up the phone and call the pastor all the time? No. You have a direct line to heaven. Amen. A direct line to heaven. Now lift up your hands and let's pray. I want you to begin to pray. Hallelujah. And those of you that can speak in the spirit, I want you to begin to pray in that language. Because there are mysteries. There are chains that are holding you back. There are some things called tokens of liars. And some satanic altars and so forth, you know, that pit themselves against the people of God. And God has sent me here today to send a fire on all those negative altars and bring grace of deliverance to the life of God's people. I want the Brother Emeka play some song softly as I pray for these people. Oh, Rashandere Abosola Karima Shonia. Remo Sandara Bakuri Mashe. I'm going to decree some grace and the favor of God into your lives. But first, I want to say, you are God. Rashandere Abosola. Hey, you are God, you are God. Father, in the name of Jesus, I come against the oppressing spirits. Every tree that my Father has not planted shall be rooted up. All the tokens of liars. The Bible says, I am he that frustrated the tokens of liars. The lies that have come against you to bump you off your edge. Every setback in your life. The Bible calls it the burdens, the yokes, the oppressing spirits, the bands of wickedness. I command them be broken in Jesus' name. There is no enchantment or divination against the people of God. As long as you are walking in the light. And some people say somebody did this, somebody doing that and so forth. There is no enchantment against you. I command every altar that is not of God, we command fire upon it in Jesus' name. Now the altar that you must erect in your home is the altar of prayer. The altar of walking humbly before God and praising him always. Hallelujah. Now for those of you that God bumped off your age, it may even be sickness or disease. Now I want to pray for against some sicknesses and some diseases today. Do you know the Lord heals that too? Amen. Praise God. Now, if you have any sickness in any part of your body, if you are out here in front or you are in the audience, now I rebuke the spirit of infirmity in the name of Jesus Christ. The Bible says that healing is the bread of the children. Take this bread and eat it in Jesus' name. It is yours in the name of Jesus. Now, rejoice not against me, O my enemy. I want you to say, those of you who are here, rejoice not against me, O my enemy. Say it. For when I fall, I shall arise.
When I fall, I shall arise.
When I am down, I shall get up.
When I am down, I shall get up.
When I sit in darkness, the Lord will be a light unto me.
When I sit in darkness, the Lord will be a light unto me.
Hallelujah. And this is my declaration of faith. I love this one. Isaiah chapter 50 and verse 7. If you can put it up for them and let those who are standing here say it with me. Isaiah 50 and verse 7. Can you put up that scripture? Anybody in the back? All right. I want you to say this with me. This is your, hold on. This is your declaration of faith. You need to put on your game face. Amen. Don't let anybody knock you off your race. Don't let any hurdle or any mountain or any such thing. By my God, I run through troops. By my God, I leap over walls. Hallelujah. Say it with me. For the Lord God will help me. Therefore, I shall not be confounded.
Yes, sir.
Therefore have I set my face like a flint.
Therefore have I set my face.
And I know that I shall not be ashamed.
And I know that I shall.
Can somebody say hallelujah?
Hallelujah.
Put on your game face, folks. Put on your game face. Pick up the baton and finish the race. Don't let anybody knock you off your race. In the name of Jesus. Now, I pray that the grace of God that is upon... When I went to pray for people, that's all I just said. I just said, let the grace of God, hallelujah, be upon you to understand this. The grace of God that is upon you now, walk in that victory in Jesus' name. Don't leave from the church and then you let something happen and then you get, no! There's one more prayer we're going to pray before we close. Remember the story in Mark chapter 4 where Jesus said, let us go over to the other side. And he went in the boat and was sleeping in the back of the boat. And a storm arose. And all the disciples were panicking. But Jesus was sleeping. The Bible says in Philippians chapter 4 verses 6 and 7. Be anxious for nothing. But in everything by prayer and supplication, let your requests be made known unto God with thanksgiving. Amen. Don't forget the thanksgiving part. And the next verse says, the next verse doesn't exactly say, and the Lord will answer all the prayers and give you all those breakthroughs. No. He said, and the peace of God, which passes all understanding. People can't understand why you have peace even in the midst of the storm. The prayer we're going to pray now is, Lord, give me the grace that the peace inside of me is bigger than the storm that is outside. I want to pray for an increase. The Bible says increase in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. I want to pray for an increase of God's peace in my life so that it is bigger than the storm that is outside. Hallelujah. Now, I want you to pray that prayer with me. Say, Lord, make your peace and your grace that is in me bigger than the storms that are around me. Remember Jesus said, the word of God says in, 1 John 5:4, this is the victory that overcomes the world. Our faith. He that is in us is greater than he is outside. Now the Lord grant you victory to walk in this grace. Walk in this grace. Now let me declare favor upon you. Now, favor upon you everywhere. I've been hearing this lately. Favor upon you everywhere. The Bible says he will surround the righteous with favor as a shield. And the Lord will not withhold any good thing. Psalms 84 verse 11. My wife loves this verse. He will not withhold any good thing from them that walk uprightly before him. Amen. So I command, according to Deuteronomy chapter 28, that you have favor in the city. You have favor in the field. When you go out, you have favor. When you come in, you have favor.
Amen.
You have favor before man. You have favor before God. You have favor before businesses. You know, the Bible says in Proverbs chapter 22 and verse 29, seest thou a man that is diligent in his business? He shall stand before kings and not before mean men. Kings! When you are diligent in your business, can you put that scripture up so they can know that I'm quoting it correctly? Proverbs 22 and 29. When you are diligent in your business, God will give you favor to stand before kings. The merchandise of Ethiopia. Hallelujah. Treasures, hidden treasures of secret places. Treasures of darkness. Men of Sabaeans. They shall come over in chains. Shall they come over unto you? That's how God will bless you when you are walking uprightly. In the name of Jesus. Favor upon your children. Favor upon your grandchildren. Favor in your health. Favor in your wealth. Favor in your peace. Now, anything you can think of, just declare favor for yourself. The lines are falling unto me in pleasant places. In the name of Jesus. I have favor in the morning. I have favor in the afternoon. I have favor in the evening. Wherever I go, I am blessed and highly favored. Thank you, Jesus. Put your hands together for the Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Amen. Pick up the baton and finish the race. Hallelujah. Thank you. You may go back to your seats. Thank you for your patience. Pick up that baton and finish the race. Priest, you may take it away.